All right, welcome to the Dead Ramones podcast. My name is Ryan Sim, and my guest today is Stokesy.
Thanks for having me, Ryan.
This is our first time meeting.
It's lovely to meet you.
Yeah.
You're the best.
And we were just saying before, like, we got all the same mutual friends, but we've never actually met until today.
Yeah, and it's lovely to meet you. Thanks for having me.
Very nice to meet you too.
And just disclaimer for everyone at home, I'm like, for a couple of late nights.
Yeah, how many hours awake are you now?
About 15 minutes. So just just imagine your favorite lizard.
Yep.
Fell in love with like an old timey tramp.
Okay. Yeah.
They had a kid.
That's your vibe.
They had a kid, and that was me, born in whiskey, and they poured sand on his head. That's just disclaimer, okay?
Yeah, for sure.
So I am looking pretty fucking rinsed, but thank you for having me, man.
Okay, man.
I'm sorry to drag my carcass in here.
Are you feeling hungover or you're all right?
I'm still a little bit crispy, mate.
Crispy,
pretty hungover.
Nice.
Yeah, I don't know, mate, but yeah, I'm just a creature.
Yeah. You didn't listen to this record, which we'll get into in a second. You didn't listen to it this morning, right?
With the
hangover?
Oh, man, no, because look, before we get into it, that genre will bring you up.
Right. I believe that.
It brings you up.
Yeah.
It's just all the drama surrounding it. It's pretty on brand with my life.
Yeah, nice. Yeah.
Yeah, if I'm not creating drama, I'm inventing it in my head. Shout out to my girl, Atoyne. Thank you. She should be rolling her eyes.
Yeah.
You're not dramatic.
No, that's cool. Yeah. So just to give people like obviously you're friends with the Community Notice Board guys. You've been on their podcast a bunch.
Yep.
And you reached out to me.
Yeah.
I think after I was on their
pod.
Yeah.
Because I saw your podcast and being a huge fan of punk hardcore my whole life, I was like, maybe I should come and annoy you for a minute.
You should definitely, yeah. That rules. So they've all been on the podcast. To give people some context for what you do, you make unhinged videos on the internet.
Yeah, that's the kindest description.
Yeah,
thank
yeah.
you. That's the kindest thing anyone's ever said to me.
I was watching the E.T. one today,
yeah,
and it just like keeps going.
It's a lot, man. That's just how I go, man. Fucking bang, bang, bang.
But you're selling merch and stuff for that. So your Instagram is Harrowing Films. But
it's like, Harrowing Films. Yeah. So we got and I'll do heaps of cameos.
Yeah, nice.
I know. Cameos is like a website of like broken men, washed up. Somehow I've found my way on.
Well, it's like you're on the way up and a lot of people are on the way down. You just like you all meet at Cameo.
And that's the worst thing. It's because I'm trying to go up.
It's you and Jeremy Piven. Right. Just on Cameo.
Right. Or like some YouTube fucking meme guy.
Yeah.
And so it's a little bit fucking weird.
But it's funny how pre-cancellation and post-cancellation everybody ends up in the same
right?
place.
And I'm just fucking floating in this elevator of shame.
Yeah.
Right? In between both. You know what I mean?
It's like, going up? Yeah, I'm going up. Oh, I'm going down. Okay.
Yeah, I'm just happy to be in the fucking elevator, man.
Yeah. You know?
Big boss. Just happy to be there.
That's cool.
But
But you were involved in Compulsory. It's Compulsory Entertainment. Yes, Compulsory Entertainment.
Yeah,
which is a sketch series on YouTube.
Yep.
Written by Eric Hutton and Laura Hughes, two awesome comedians. Mm-hmm. And you did some voice work for them as
well. Yeah, I just have like a tiny part in it. But I've known Eric for a little bit. And he just came to me with it and they gave me a little part.
It's so cool.
And it's the most like legit thing I've ever done.
But it's cool to like take what you've been doing like on your own time and apply that to like a bigger especially something as crazy as what Hutton wants to do, man. Like Hutton's a mental.
Oh, he's a fucking mentalist. Like, he's the best.
Good.
He's the best.
His brain, I just like, oh man, to be inside his brain for a second.
Right.
So sick.
But with like, with my stuff, I just like kind of, I don't write it. I just freestyle it. And I'll put it out. I don't put out enough shit cause I'm just a lazy fat fuck. But, watching.
You're speaking to the soul of this podcast right
man,
now. Yeah.
I'm just a fucking, just a lizard. But, when I'm watching it, they had like a little premiere. And I can't watch my own shit, right? The sound of my voice is punishing. Like
that's kind of the point, though.
But to see it back, to see it back,
yeah.
It was like horrifying, but also it was pretty sick. Yeah. Like just
I was on the Dude Island sketch. Were you on that set?
No, but I saw all the rigs.
Yeah,
all
the fucking rigs. It was pretty. Yeah, it was pretty fun. Yeah,
my
yeah.
fucking favorite bit, man. That's so
Dude Island is
funny.
Insane.
It's so good. Yeah, and I was like, because I only got like the brief for just kind of like tying it in at the back, like the back end with the newscast. And
yeah,
I was like,
yeah.
this is fucking amazing.
Yeah,
but to see it all.
Yeah, yeah.
Fucking big production.
Yeah. The newscast is very like, Monty Python feeling.
Yeah, someone told me that and I was like, fucking, that's great.
Yeah, it's sick.
Yeah, yeah. Like no, I do like Monty Python. It's a bit fucking overtly British.
Yeah.
It's a bit
yeah.
fucking around. Yeah, you know? But yeah, no, it was really good, man. I was so happy to be part of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, very, nice. Very privileged.
Yeah.
Thank
yeah.
you, Eric and
Yeah, it is nice. It's
everyone
nice.
Everyone involved.
Yeah.
For, and the Australian
like
film.
I'm giving you an award. It's like, I'd like
yeah,
to thank
the
God.
The Australian film finance company for the money and whatever. And
yeah. I'd like to thank Satan for giving me this talent.
Yeah. Right. Just all lizards ever.
Yeah.
The power people. They give me to fucking just. Fucking drag my carcass into your house. Thank you for having me, my man.
It's okay, man. Thanks for doing it.
Oh, well, I'm just such
it's
a
so
wretch.
Nice.
Yeah. Anyway.
So today, so you were telling me before, you're a punk guy. You've always listened to punk music. We're talking about Good Riddance before one of the great bands.
Yep.
That I haven't done an episode on, but might have to in the future because they're just so good. But so today, can I ask you how old you are?
Yeah.
How old are you?
I'm more than 10,
more
less
than
100.
Well, the reason I asked, I was born in 1985.
Right.
So we're talking about the year 2004.
I'm slightly older than you, but not much.
Okay, yeah.
Because I can't reveal my name or my age.
You can't reveal
my
anything?
Address.
You're a man of mystery.
I have to.
Okay.
But yeah, I'm pretty much around.
Do you work for ASIO? Are you
yeah,
a spy?
I'm a fucking spy, man. Yeah. I work for the Russian fucking
KGB.
The Russian government.
Man,
the KGB, yeah, I'm bringing it back.
What an episode!
I'm not supposed to tell you, but yeah. Like, fuck, dude, I'm monitoring you right now. I'm on the case. I've got an earpiece, man.
You need to get in on that.
Extensive dossier on you.
The
right
independent
now,
Australian podcast scene. You're going to affect the culture.
I'm shutting it down, man.
10 listeners at a time.
Right? I have a huge dossier on you, man. All your fucking shortcomings and all your crime.
Oh, my crimes.
White collar crime.
Yeah.
It's extensive, but I'm like, go now.
We got him.
This is a real world. Go. This is it. Anyway, I know you're not a criminal. You're actually an awesome guy. I'm sorry to fucking pretend that I was fucking spy.
No.
Which surely you wouldn't believe.
Immediately apologizing for the bit is so sweet.
That's what spies do, man. Fucking covert. But yes, I'm absolutely around.
Yeah,
your
right.
Age.
So I was, what was I? I was 19. So this was like when I was sort of like actually going to over 18 shows and stuff like this, 2004.
Yeah.
And I think it was also like this kind of like change point for like the hardcore punk scene. Yeah. And that's kind of why I chose to do this album. So today we're talking about the band Misery Signals and their debut album 2004 of Malice and the Magnum Heart. Had you heard this before I sent you the link to the album?
Yes.
Yeah, cool.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I get from Canada, yeah? Because
Canada and Wisconsin.
Right.
Like real middle America shit. Yeah.
I knew of the band Seven Angels.
Seven Angels, Seven Blades. Yeah, dude.
So this is where the drama starts to unfold.
Dude, it's so funny that you knew about
genre.
Them. Yeah.
Yeah, because everything is so dramatic.
Yeah, right? Dude. Yeah. So niche. Yeah. That's such a niche band to I guess like when I was in Brisbane in the hardcore scene up there, like I guess niche is kind of the point. Like people love to be like, oh, I know this obscure band and you should listen to them. So Seven Angels, and so in that way it's like it is niche, but it's like reported upon.
Right.
And they're like, oh, you gotta listen to this record, blah blah blah.
Yeah.
So yeah, I was familiar with Seven Angels, Seven Plagues as well. Were they a Christian band? I hope so.
Because Jesus fucking deserves a fucking place in metal.
Yeah. Like, Jesus deserves some mosh.
He should.
Yeah.
He's lazy. He's done fuck all. You can't just come to Earth and do fucking tons of miracles and then just bail.
Just bailed.
Right? Now the world's gone to shit. And
yeah.
He's coming back. I was like, you can't. Segwaying. I don't want to get into Jesus, but like, yeah, he let me down. He's let us all down, you know? You can't come to Earth red hot for like a quick tour.
Yeah, yeah.
bust out all this fucking, you know, and then die.
Yeah, yeah. It's like you can't go down to Skid Row and just hand out like, you know, $50 notes to the tent city and then just never come back.
Effectively, he would cast a spell yeah. and we would all be incredibly happy, rich.
Happy for a week, yeah. Right? Yeah.
Where is he?
And then Heaven. He's gone. Yeah.
Anyway, he deserves a place in Christian metalcore. Actually, there was a band the other night playing in Emmore, because I work in Emmore. They're called Skillet.
Right,
a metal band. I've never heard of them.
Aren't they like a butt rock band? Aren't they like Nickelback?
But I just saw all these fucking people walking up the street after the show cleared out. Like DC shoes.
Yeah, right.
Full print. Yeah. Echo. I was like, what the fuck? It was like a portal that opened up in like 2001.
Yeah, dude.
Fashion. I just, they're judging them.
The big show.
Because I'm a
shoes.
Shit person. Fuck. Yeah, full print.
Yeah, dude.
T-shirts. I was like, what the fuck?
Yeah, crazy.
Sorry to just go on that. It's just... I'm not a nice person when it comes to
But it's funny when that stuff happens and you're like, were they like our age, these people?
Yeah,
like
we look good though. Like they were,
we look good.
They looked fucking age, but they looked older.
Yeah, for sure. Right? Yeah,
I think because they had kids, maybe.
Yeah.
I think that might break down someone's fucking like looks.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Yeah.
But they're still wearing the Echo shirts.
Echo,
and the
just brands I haven't seen for a
yeah, wild.
Time.
A like, Globe t-shirt.
A Globe t-shirt.
Yeah, it's crazy.
It was amazing. No, not Globe shoes.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
here I am just completely judging people. not a good person. I retort. Great. I hope they had a good time though. Yeah, so Skillet played.
I wish them all the best.
I know they had a good time. But yes, Christian bands, like, fuck, Christian metalcore.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I don't know if they were, but Misery Signals definitely didn't market themselves as that. But they came out of, like, the ashes of Seven Angels, Seven Plagues, and a couple of other bands from, like, that area of North America. Because I think Wisconsin is close enough to Canada that these bands sort of toured together.
Right.
Then members of that band formed this band.
Great.
Yeah, yeah. So, there's a few things, like the mid 2000s are like, I'm just going by memory here, but it felt like this boom era for like the metalcore genre. And it was kind of like after, do you know Poison the Well?
Yes.
Yeah. So it's kind of like after Poison the Well came out, like kind of after Thursday and like that emo movement, but also like, you had those bands like Earth Crisis and Hatebreed and stuff. So it was like all this stuff sort of coming together, and then people like just suburban kids like me, like, you know, we didn't have hard lives. We didn't grow up on the streets or anything like that. Suddenly we're on MySpace and we're getting this stuff that was like, oh, it's heavy and it's like angsty, but it's also like pretty melodic and like easy to listen to. Like,
yeah. Also, I feel like the turning point for this genre, I feel like the turning point was when it got so big that...
It's weird to think about how big it was, right?
It was so big that the merch stands were fucking like... It went from just being one t-shirt to 50...
Yeah,
jackets. Like I just
windbreakers,
hats, socks, fucking DC shirts.
People get
everything. Right?
People going camping in fucking Misery Signals.
Right,
we need a windbreaker for the yacht. Like
man. I just I'm trying to think of what I think it might have been like. Fuck, man, maybe like Bring Me the Horizon or something.
Yeah, that's a good reference.
Went
point.
To a show and
the
fucking like half of the venue was. A fucking merch stand.
Dude, it's insane.
And people would, and it was just like fucking $80 t-shirt. And people just like, and I was like, okay, like it's just, it's a business.
It's a business, dude. Yeah.
It's a business.
And it's weird because I think you had those more commercial bands like Bring Me the Horizon and stuff. And I'm pretty sure they kind of emerged around the same sort of time. But I think there's some names that you can throw out that kind of like Avenged Sevenfold,
yes.
You know, like they were a business, like business. They were a big, and they made that idea of metalcore, like this, like a brand almost.
Yeah.
And then, so you had Avenged Sevenfold, you had Bullet for My Valentine,
yep.
And Trivium.
Trivium.
And it seemed like these are bands that would just do those big, like Vans Warped Tour Fest or like Soundwave Fest, like they're just like headlining bands.
Yep.
And it felt like they didn't have any real like identity in terms of like an underground scene or counterculture. They were just sort of like another, like, yeah, I think what you said, like they were just big business almost, but it was just for the angry kids.
Yeah. And also like I think my favorite thing about that the genre, right? So like the artwork, like, you know how, like, let's be genre specific, right? So heavy metal, you got your fucking Dragon Slayers, dragons, Dungeons and Dragons, demons, and Goblins.
Yeah. Yep, totally. Yeah.
For fucking some reason, the with the metalcore, it was like human anatomy.
Yeah.
Pictures.
Yeah.
It's like,
well, even this record, even Misery Signals, it's like a kid with his chest and then there's a knife in.
Yeah, but you know why? Because they feel so much.
Yeah.
Their fucking skin falls off. Well,
it's like, it's emo.
Their fucking skin falls off. Yeah. They're like, I feel so. I have no skin.
They're just immolating from the pure feels.
Just a nervous system. Yeah, my skin fell off because I feel too fucking much about this and this.
I think that's what we related to as like teenagers in early 20s, right? Yeah, we were like, what am I gonna
do? It's always a fucking guy, like, kind of like head back.
Very religious.
Heart.
Religious kind of like
nervous
poses.
Nervous system.
Yeah,
no
yeah.
skin.
Norma Jean. Remember Norma Jean? Yeah. They were actually a Christian metalcore band, but like they always had those weird art, like album covers where it's like the body part, but like a drawer coming out of the torso.
We are furniture now.
And then the drawer...
We are skinless fucking IKEA furniture, emo, metalcore,
like the IKEA
fiends.
IKEA catalog from fucking hell.
That's what we've become. From hell too, yeah. There's a lot of fire and brimstone.
Yeah.
Human anatomy, a drawer.
And then like distorted text.
A guy turning away feels too much.
Just can't look at you anymore.
It's become a fucking cabinet. Right?
I got so many emotions, I became a chest of drawers.
An empty one, too. Yeah, there's never any fucking thing in it. There's no merch in it.
No merch. But I guess, my point with those like bigger bands was like, there became like this corporate culture of like heavy bands that weren't just heavy metal. They were like metalcore.
Yep.
But then it feels like that created another underground scene of metalcore.
Yep.
Does that make sense?
Yeah,
so like,
absolutely.
Like you had the big ones, but then there was still this like grassroots kind of like closer to an actual hardcore culture of bands doing that same type of music.
Yep.
Which is just weird to think about, I guess, but it also makes sense because that's what punk always
was.
They're always like you always had Blink-182 and then the Good Riddances who are still doing like melodic punk.
Yep.
But
yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. Absolutely. And like the young bands coming through, they would have. I don't know if they would have aspired more to fucking having merch.
Yeah. Yeah.
Being a good band, having merch, becoming a fucking set of drawers. There's a lot to fucking aim for, man.
Yeah.
Especially when it became so mainstream.
Yeah. Totally.
And it was a good time, man. Yeah. A lot of haircuts.
Good stuff,
man. A lot of piercings,
the fucking haircuts,
a lot of plugs.
You never had the plugs, I can see. I never had that.
You know
too.
Why? Because my fucking ears are still intact.
Yeah.
I know a lot
disgusting,
of
disgusting
old
dude.
Mates who had to have the biggest one.
I hated it.
And now they fucking look absolutely
talking about goblins. Like,
I'm like, how the fuck do you fix that?
Yeah, oh,
you need
man.
New ears.
People, I think you can like stitch them up. Like, you can go get like
you
cosmetic
should.
Surgery.
Yeah,
just
they should. Or you can chuck them back in the fucking discs.
Yeah,
like a fucking actual discus. Say a discus
gonna,
piercing.
That's gonna come back, dude. That's
you
gonna
reckon?
Come, yeah, no, it will because like you look at like kids who are in their 20s now and
oh,
they're all
yeah,
dressing
it's,
like
it's
Nirvana.
The, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Limp Bizkit.
It's the cycle. Is it a 20-year cycle? Is that what they say?
Oh, what are we
30
thinking?
30, 25 year?
Maybe
where things 25. Just come back.
Yeah, 20. I reckon by 2040, we're going to see like 19-year-olds with
discs. The plugs and the fucking cork thing.
The cork.
Oh, God, what are you doing?
Remember the tribal ones, like the spikes you'd get, like the PVC spikes from Off Your Tree?
Yeah.
Like, oh,
of course. What a shop.
Fucking hell.
Shout out to Off Your Tree.
Shout outs.
We're bringing it back, man.
Friend of the pod.
Me and Ryan, we're going to come in today for a fucking giant cork piercing.
Can I get a cork through my ear?
But what's the biggest one you have? Just fucking, it's fine. Just do it. I look great. It's fine. Just fucking put
the
it
body,
in.
The body mod era of fucking, oh God. Like the studs, the people get the studs across
there. Oh man. And the fucking like, the pronged fucking nose thing.
Man. It's so bad.
It was a lot.
So bad.
Dude's hanging from the fucking ceiling.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. The hook. Remember that performance art where people would hang themselves on hooks?
Fucking
what happened to that?
Outrageous. It's outrageous. It's like, what?
Who was that for?
Who hurt you?
And it's like the hook hanging artists, body artists or whatever. Mm. That was like a weird add-on to like burlesque.
And like I don't see the connection.
The fellas would hang themselves on hooks.
Yeah, and then you've got the titillating.
Their girlfriends would just be in corsets. Like, it's like kind of a slightly overweight woman in a Victorian corset.
Yes, and I hate both of them equally. Both those scenes equally. But somehow they meshed because they got two of the shittest things.
Yeah.
If we combine, just we might get five people to come.
Just listening to Dresden Dolls.
And they're like, well, I'm stripping, but I'm not. And I'm like,
yeah, you're not going to actually see my titties, but you're going to think about seeing my titties.
And then you've got the husband hanging from the fucking ceiling by his back.
By his fucking
piercings,
back muscles.
With eyebrow rings holding him up. What a fucking joke.
What an era, man.
What a scene. Where were we? I turned my back on that scene. It was just too much.
No, too much.
But hey, hopefully that comes back too.
Yeah, probably.
So that we can shit on it again.
But yeah, so like in these so you had this underground metalcore scene kind of emerge. So it was like bands doing this style of music, but weren't necessarily doing it to be on MTV. And I think Misery Signals fit into that weird niche. And they were really beloved, but they never got huge.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I mean, like, sure, they sold a bunch of merch. They had t-shirts, all that stuff, because
t-shirts.
We actually had disposable income back in 2005 to spend.
Oh my god,
on,
we did. I just realized
t-shirts.
We did.
I had so many Converge shirts, dude. I spent a lot of money in the Converge web store. Yeah, do you remember when our economy was better than America's?
Yes, I remember when
we could just order stuff online.
Maybe we could eat. Maybe we could hang from the ceiling in peace. With a little bit of a couple of shillings in the pocket.
Like a bat.
Eh? Yeah, like a bat.
Yeah, if you hang upside down on the hooks, some money would actually fall out of your
pocket. Catch some coins. Catch some fucking eyebrow rings, man. What a day. Catch, like you said, like a fucking overweight fucking Victorian era fucking woman shimmying.
But I think what really sums up this period is because like... on this record, it was their debut. So after this record, their vocalist left.
Yep.
And so after this record, the way they found a new vocalist was by auditioning people on MySpace.
Nice.
They're a MySpace band, dude.
Top 8.
Top 8. These guys were definitely in a couple of my friends' top 8 on MySpace.
It's just so brutal, though. The top 8.
Era,
the top
man.
8. You could just like fucking take people on, take them off.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Just send a statement.
Well, I just did bands.
I just did bands too, hey.
My top 8 would have been like Poison the Well and Every Time I Die.
Also, can we fucking take a minute to appreciate the band names?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
They're fucking so good.
Misery Signals.
Mystery Signals. There's so much drama.
It's a lot of drama, man. Every Time I Die.
Every Time I Die.
Yeah, yeah.
Poison the Well.
Yeah, yeah,
it's
dude.
Incredible. Like, it's just so many feelings.
Now all the bands, like I don't know, what are the bands now? Like,
well, there's no names left. Every name for everything ever has been taken.
They're all just, like, weird words. Like, there's that metalcore band called Akulu now. I don't know what Akulu means.
Hey, man.
Just like...
It sounds very nautical, very fantastical beast.
Yeah.
Attacking the ship.
Yeah, I'm trying
to
think.
I like it.
I don't really listen that much like metalcore these days, I guess. I just listen to more like hard. Yeah, hardcore's getting weird. Like one of the good hardcore bands that I really like, there's just a band called Gel.
Great.
Just G-E-L, Gel.
It's getting like speed. They're taking the drama out.
The
big...
Speed is a great name for a hardcore band.
It is
though,
pretty
it's
good.
Like, it's just like it's like Fast and Furious.
Yeah.
Sick.
Yeah.
It does also, what it says on the box.
Man, they also have like a collection of merch at Foot Locker at the moment. So they're still towing the line between
so insane
bringing back it to roots level.
Yeah.
But still in the big corporate picture kind of, yeah?
It doesn't not make sense because they are Western Sydney dudes. So Foot Locker makes sense for them. I'm not a hater. I'm trying not to be a hater.
I like it.
It's weird.
Whoever at Foot Locker fucking got that pass through, what a genius.
It's a genius.
It makes all the sense.
Yeah, it's a genius move. Yeah, for a bunch of Western Sydney kids.
Yeah, and that fucking... It still... Hardcore still resonates, so it's still... because they're not, because I feel like with the metalcore stuff, it's like got enough shine, enough like,
yeah,
melody,
yes, yeah,
to be accessible as opposed to like straight ahead,
yeah,
hardcore.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I know what you mean.
So like, yeah, there's enough like keyboards, there's enough like shine, yep, to metalcore to, yep, make it.
Well, the thing with metalcore, like, the is production, like, right? It feels like bands kind of fall, like, it's a weird one because like it's its own genre, but you definitely see like the cultural thing of like bands will fall on either side of the line in terms, yep, of their fans. Right. So like a metalcore band will be on the metal side, yep, of that line, yep, in terms of the shows they play, yeah, who they tour with, or they'll be more of a in the hardcore scene, which I think Misery, yep, Signals kind of were. I think, yep, they were more for the hardcore kids. And like, yep, obviously all these bands have crossover appeal, but, right, it's like a weird, it's just like a weird thing where it's like the choice seems very arbitrary. Like, yep, who adopts,
yep,
what,
yep,
band, you, yep, know, like, yep, Hatebreed, yep, are the only one I can think who are just like straight down the middle, like equal parts hardcore and metal. Right. Like Hatebreed are the only one that I can think like,
yep, there's no, there's,
that's 50-50.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, like, yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, Misery Signals, this record, it came out on Ferret Records. I don't know if that rings a bell. Yeah, Every Time I Die,
yep,
Remembering Never, Blood Has Been Shed, which was the guy who went on to do Killswitch Engage.
Yep, yep.
That was his first band.
Amazing.
So just like the alumni, you know, yeah, what I mean? Like X-Men First Class style, yeah, like, yeah, the origin story for this fucking genre. That was, yeah, Ferret Records. Also, yeah,
all incredible bands, incredible names.
Just Blood whole, has been whole, shed.
Oh, fuck. Oh, my skin fell off.
It's like, I was talking about like the other, oh yeah, so last week I did one where it was like, yeah, just the band names, but also like the lyrical content of these bands where it's like, you know, I am burning alive with hatred, but I rely on my friends to get me. Like, it's like, yeah, wait, are you dead? Are you done? Yeah. Or are you like pushing forward? Like, it's just this like weird incongruous.
It's incongruous.
Like,
as that I
cannot go on.
The inconsistency of feelings.
Yeah.
There's
which is
great.
And emotions aren't logical. Yeah.
They're not logical. And, yeah, that's why you do turn into a fucking closet on the cover. Yeah, because, yeah, you were like, I'm empty. I'm full. I'm dying. I'm alive. I hate you. I, yeah, love you.
My friend, I just get DMs about the podcast episodes sometimes, and this guy, Lee Giovanno, I don't know if you ever met him. He used to do comedy. He plays guitar in the band Potion,
yeah,
and sings in Potion.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So he messaged me about the Converge episode we did with Beck Charwood, but he made this really good point, because like there seems to be this pushback on like the lyrics of this era and the things. Vape freely, by the way. Like, oh, don't be shy. It's fine.
It's incredibly shameful. That's the point. It's an incredibly shameful habit. It's stuck on a USB stick.
That's the whole point.
Grown
man. That's the whole point of vaping. It doesn't like stink up the fucking drapes. Oh, it's fine. Still, yeah, go for it.
Mango. It stinks of mango. My lung is just one big mango.
He's a mango boy.
It's awful. I didn't want to fucking be. I'm ashamed. But thank you.
Lee, shout out to Lee and Potion, who are a fucking great band. There's this pushback on these lyrics. There's this kind of like revisionist history being like, oh, there's inherent misogyny because they're all about, you know, breakups and like emotions, like,
yep,
you said.
Yep.
And he's like, I mean, it's a little bit of like separating the art from the artist, but like his point was like, why can't boys be sad?
They can be.
Why can't boys just like, I mean, at the time we were fine with it, but now, right, we're looking back now and being like, all the violence and like the, right, the gendered kind of language and stuff like that. Yep. I'm like, yes, that is a conversation. Like, I'm not actually pushing back about that. But like, I think, right, my only argument in terms of songwriting and, yep, lyric writing is like, well, it's an outlet. It's like, I feel this now. Let me put it on the page.
Yeah.
And I get it out of my fucking head. Yeah, I'm not saying it's right or wrong. I'm just saying it's like, sometimes boys be sad and they need to express themselves.
It's a cathartic.
Yeah. It's better than punching a hole in the wall.
Yeah. And
write some disgusting lyrics. Right. Like, leave the drywall alone.
Yeah, leave the fucking drywall. Stop punching holes. But also, you're right, man. It was more accepted to be just in your feels, man, to be sad.
Yeah, yeah.
And like, I don't know if that's been lost because like today, if you can't do it, like, you have to, are we going back to being fucking like the hole punchers?
Yeah, or, I think because like obviously
because it's seen as soft. Like yeah. There's an element that it was soft back then, as in not the not the music, but the feelings.
Yes. Yeah. Sure. Yeah.
And but I think that's what made it so good.
Yeah, was totally.
The expression of feeling.
Yeah, it's like this paradox
delivered in a brutal.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
dramatic.
That's absolutely
musical essence. You
what
know?
Was attractive about yeah. it? Yeah, yeah. We talked about this yeah. with Converge as well. Right. Like, I'm not sure if you're familiar with
absolutely.
Converge. Yeah, yeah. It's like almost like emo lyrics. It's like that, those yeah. poetic kind of yeah. Like emotional lyrics,
but delivered like. In a dramatic, hard, fast...
Just over the top.
Over the top. and as a dramatic person myself...
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like I said, if I'm not causing it, I'm inventing it.
Yeah.
What do you call those people? Punishers. shout out to my girlfriend.
It's just like a hamster wheel in your
it's
head.
It's a hamster
it's
wheel.
It's just like, yeah, yeah like the yeah. emotional hamster.
But
yeah.
I think that's why it was so incredible.
I think it's what anxiety actually stokes.
There's a lot going on yeah. there, right? Thank you. That'd be one. But it was... that's why it was so relatable, right?
Yeah, totally. Yeah. And it's relatable because it was so melodramatic. And yep. I think it was just like... And I think like there is a danger to it. Like I remember being young and like listening to these bands and then thinking that's how... Because I had a fucking cushy upbringing. You know, my parents would stay together. We lived in the suburbs and everything yep. like that. And then you listen to this music and I think I guess just speaking for myself, like I had this complex where I was like, oh no, but if I want to make meaningful music, everyone has to be against me.
Right.
And so like it creates right. this kind of like what you said, like you're creating it in your own mind, but it's also like you're getting these data endpoints from yeah. like the stuff you're listening to. Yeah. And so like, I think it takes a while to grow out of that and just be like, oh no, I'm just my own person.
Yeah.
And I'm allowed to express what I feel.
Yeah.
And that's okay. It doesn't, yeah. I don't have to invent some narrative
right.
about being like, everyone's against me or anything yeah, yeah. like that. Yeah. It's like, if I feel yeah. that way at 10 p.m. at night, I want to write a song about it, then right. great. But
yeah, yeah.
that's it. That's all it
yeah,
is.
Yeah, and like, it was also like lyrically, like very relationship-based.
Yeah, yeah, totally.
And, you know, of course yeah. that's always relatable.
Yeah.
Because everyone goes through shit like that yeah. all the time.
Well, I think like, so I wasn't that big into this band. Like people call Of Malice and the Magnum Heart, they call it a perfect record.
Yeah.
Like, 10 out of 10s across the board. Yep. You know what I mean?
Yep.
I didn't mind it. Like I listened to it just this morning and I'm like, but for me, it's like, it's almost like this album isn't songs. It's just like parts.
Yep.
Like
it builds.
Yeah.
And it's got this kind of like underlying menace to it.
Yeah, definitely. Absolutely.
As it builds.
Yeah.
And like, I feel like you kind of almost have to listen to it all the way through.
Well,
which
yeah,
is hard because no one has time anymore.
I couldn't tell you, like, it's weird. It's like, I couldn't choose a song from yep. the record. Like, yep. if I was, like, making a playlist for someone, right. there's not one song where, oh, yeah, I remember that song. I just remember, yep. like the different riffs or yep. the different parts or, like, maybe just, like, an excerpt of some of his lyrics. But I wouldn't be able to tell you which song it came from because yep. it's so technical and, like, yep. It's not like typical songwriting either. There's not really any choruses or anything.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
it's like hard
absolutely.
For me to engage with because I quite enjoy heavy music that adheres to sort of this idea of songwriting.
Right.
Yeah.
I think this
doesn't really do that.
I think also, mate, you've essentially got, you've got hardcore, you've got metal.
Yeah.
That stripped back in essence is brutal, good. Yeah. But then when these bands started getting big, when the production values
yeah.
came in,
yeah,
and it just expanded like the whole
totally
the feeling of it, like yeah. The way it was like delivered to you as a listener, it was yeah. just the sheen
makes
it huge,
yeah, totally,
and then it
yeah.
gives it more feeling, more drama,
yeah, sure,
and
yeah,
then
yeah.
it's
definitely
just,
more drama, yeah,
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 and
absolutely.
Then it just becomes. Like bigger than like if you strip back without the production, those songs are just awesome hardcore or metal
yeah,
songs.
Yeah.
But then with the big production, yeah. there's your drama. That creates the feeling.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
As
yeah.
I waffle on.
No, no, because I think like maybe like
I'm so
more
full of shit, by the
like
way.
You speed you speed as an example of like real hardcore, but like yeah, band like Speed, we did Terror last week. Band like Terror, it's just like it's raw, and yeah. I think like when it's that raw for me at least, I can engage more with the song and yeah. the and even the content of the song. Right. Whereas like when you have this production and this sheen on it, and like yeah. it creates atmosphere, and it's not bad, but yeah. like for me, I'm like. It does become this other thing, and I find it harder to like really like get into the music itself right. because it's like this whole package kind of going yep. on. Yep. Like, yeah, yep. I don't know. It's very yep. technical.
Very technical.
That kind of pushes me away a little bit, like the technicality of everything.
Yep.
It's super impressive. Like the musicianship yep. is fucking crazy, but yep. I'm just like, yeah, I found it harder to engage with. And I'm saying that as someone who like. I enjoy this album, but it's just not one of my favorites.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
like
yeah, I'm like yeah. just, I'm like yourself, man. I connect to like the rawness, the,
yeah,
like the grittiness.
Yeah,
when it's over polished, it's amazing.
Yeah,
can appreciate it, but yeah. I just the songs they can go on a bit too long.
Yeah, totally.
I just
yeah.
like to kind of be bludgeoned
yeah,
with the
yeah.
music I like, yeah. just fucking yeah. just boom straight at yeah. me.
Well, it's interesting you talk about the production. It's Devin Townsend, who was in Strapping Young Lad, yep. the Devin Townsend Band, yep. Ocean Machine, all these metal
Devin
bands.
Devin Townsend? Was it Devin the Devin Townsend Band?
The Devin Townsend Band, yeah.
Sorry, that was a shit joke. That terrible bit. I apologize, man. I didn't know that. He was in that band. Devin, see? Milking it. I'm sorry, man.
Wait, he was.
I'm just being
punished. Wait,
what? I'm being punished. There's a drama.
I love Devin Townsend, but like yep. that's also an interesting choice because like he is such a figurehead in like heavy metal specifically.
Yep.
And so for a band with like hardcore roots to come to him, that's like a clear choice, I think. Yep. And I think it speaks to this thing. I'm glad you're funny because I'm just like autistically sort of explaining, oh, explaining the dude, facts.
I'm unhinged.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's funny.
You keep doing you because like people are going to hate me just giving facts.
No, man, it's fine.
So like it's weird because like I think what it speaks to is like, so these guys are from middle America, right? They're from yep. Canada, they're from Wisconsin, yep. middle of the country, suburban kids. Like yep. I'm making assumptions here.
Right.
So like the subculture is kind of filtered down and probably been sold to them on a more like corporate level, like yep. like what you're saying before.
Yeah.
So they're more interested, I think, or it's more acceptable for them to be like, oh, this is just like heavy music is just another, or hardcore music is just another element of our taste. And there's no cultural rules why we can't go to Devin Townsend to yep. record our hardcore album because yep. they aren't I guess like what I'm thinking of is like where it started, and I always go back to like a band like Agnostic Front or Bad Brains, like these guys who are like literally living on the streets and making like hardcore punk music because yep. of their, and then the way the years go on it just filters down to people living on a quiet street in suburbia.
Yeah.
And they're like, yep. well let's go to one of the biggest
right.
most successful metal guys to record our hardcore.
Yeah,
like,
and
yeah.
also, man, like, if you took Bad Brains, right, and you took them to Devin Townsend.
Oh, man, can you imagine how good that would sound?
It's interesting to think what would it... How would it have sounded?
I would love that. if they could just reunite and, like, go...
Because, man, like, what do you think would happen? You think they would have slowed it down, added keys...
I don't know, like they, maybe like, keys, like, you know, like they're big
space,
on the reggae
that
and
big
stuff.
Space.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, maybe. Maybe, yeah. Maybe wouldn't have been as good.
It wouldn't.
Maybe not. Because no. it would have been, instead of like, it would have been merging everything together rather than just being like, let's do a fast song, then let's do a reggae song.
Yeah.
And then like when you put that together, it's a little bit. It's creative.
Human
it's cool,
anatomy
but you might,
cover.
You might Bad Brains with like the chest of drawers cover.
Chest of drawers.
I'm trying to find it because they were talking about the recording studio and stuff like that. Because like just talking about like how acceptable it was just to be like, oh yeah, we just have this like, we're just normal dudes. We like music. Because they're talking about how they recorded on the desk where they recorded Madonna.
No shit.
And stuff like that.
That's amazing.
And oh, Metallica. Metallica recorded an album in the studio. Cool. And just like these big...
When they weren't arguing.
Big bands. Like, yeah.
You see that documentary?
I have not. I've never watched it because I saw the trailer.
Oh my God. It's like, shut up.
Talking about melodrama.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, I'm trying to find. Oh yeah, the Black Album. They're like, so the studio in Vancouver where they went to, Metallica recorded part of the Black Album there, and the console they used on Madonna records. And I'm like, right. those aren't underground bands. Those are big.
Madonna is.
I love Madonna, by the way. Very I'm not good. Talking shit. I love Madonna.
You do?
Yeah, I love.
Do you
80s.
Love her in her current?
No, I like,
film?
Oh, dude, I can't still watch that performing. Shit either.
They're like fucking fake ass.
No, nah, like True Blue, man. True Blue it's, and like all a virgin. Bangers, man. Oh my god, that 80s.
It's just cool as fuck,
Madonna,
dude. Hanging out with like Basqua and
yeah, man.
Just
yeah.
going to. Like punk shows.
That era is wild, yeah.
She's actually like...
She's punk as fuck,
she's
man.
She's iconic, man.
Yeah.
Like, I hate how
In bed with Madonna? Like, right? Just like... You want to talk about like body positivity or sex positivity or whatever? It's like fucking...
Dude.
Madonna was doing that 40 years ago.
And that is why she has the right to...
She can do whatever
present
she wants
herself
now.
Now as a fucking unhinged lizard.
Lost, yeah. But social media... Yeah, social media is...
Oh, it's
really changing our brain chemistry. Dude,
it's making us very unwell.
Oh my god. Yeah, yeah. So I just find it interesting where they fit into in the time frame, I guess. But more specifically, like what they came out of, like we're talking about, you know, the over the top and like the emotions and stuff. But like the fact is, like this band came out of a van accident. Did you already know that? So it wasn't Seven Angels, Seven Plagues, but it was the singer's other band called, I think they were called Compromise.
Yeah.
Yeah, Compromise. So Compromise was in a van crash and two of the guys died on that tour.
So heavy.
Yeah, yeah. But the thing is, like, that's such a common, even in Australia, that's such a common story. Like a dude from the Redshaw, this old Australian metalcore band, he died in a fucking van crash.
Yeah, it's so.
I have nearly died in a van crash.
Yeah, because you're road dogging trying to get to the next show.
Get to the next show, and driving like, overnight. Yeah,
and also like the wait. What people don't, I mean, people probably do get, but it's the waiting around before you play.
Yeah,
you know what I mean, like if you're in a band,
yeah,
you got to be somewhere at a certain time, then you got to wait. It's fucking draining, man.
Yeah,
and then
yeah.
Not that I've like, you know, toured extensively or anything, but...
But it's just
then,
insane
and then things
to
happen, yeah.
Risk your life to play to maybe 80 people for $300, yeah, right? You know what I mean? And the thing is, like, after... I mean, not to compare, like, I know people have fucking passed away, so I'm not trying to, like, jump on that.
Right.
But I'm just speaking from my own experience. The crash, the biggest crash that I was in... technically wasn't a van. It was a RAV4 rental. There were only four of us in the band. Okay. It was okay.
just tightly packed
but yeah, we
into
didn't,
a RAV4.
We didn't roll. But yeah, it was like bad. Like the car was fucking ridden off.
Oh, that's so
but it's
ready.
Like we still went to the show. We still played the show.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
it's weird. It's like you go through this
dedication
near,
to the art.
Weird.
Yeah.
Near-death experience. And it's like, but we got to play for 25 minutes.
Yeah.
We got to... People bought tickets.
There is something inherently like addictive to playing.
Yeah, absolutely.
Especially when, you know, we're in a band, you're like brothers, it's, you know, you put all the time into practicing.
Yeah, yeah that's
and,
it. Yeah,
and
yeah.
you have like a kind of common goal. And
yeah, I know what you
that's
mean.
That's
yeah.
the like the payoff is the show.
I guess it's weird for me to look back on it and be like, because I mean, I'm not trying to disavow anything. I fucking love playing in these bands.
Yeah.
I really did. Yeah. Like it was super rewarding. I just love writing songs, playing music. It was great. But it's weird to look back on it and be like, how many people actually knew who we were? How many people were coming to the show? And why did we nearly die? why were we willing to become like a skid mark on the road for that? It's fucking weird.
And that also kind of like is why this genre of music, lyrically relatable, the drama.
Yeah.
The
yeah.
thing, it's just, it's fucking life manifest.
It's true. Right. It's true. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like
I mean, I said it before,
shit,
but
like, I know that was quite poignant. I was trying to be very poignant.
But emotions
but
aren't
it really is
logical. So
they're
like,
not.
Yeah, it's kind of a pointless criticism to be like, oh, this is like bad poetry and stuff. Mm. I'm like, life is bad poetry.
Yeah, absolutely, man. And also like the albums are all the things you just said about what goes on behind just getting to shows.
Yeah,
nearly dying.
Yeah.
I think I feel like every album has.
Yeah.
Four or five, four, three, four or five people living,
going through whatever.
Yeah, it's not
and
just...
And then it's just... There's just so... I feel like sometimes the...
It's the sum of experience.
The sum of experience. Yeah. And the finished product can... It's a collective of all those experiences. And then...
Yeah.
That's why some things are super relatable. Some things are relatable to people. You know, some people hate bands. Some people love bands. But it's the connection.
Yeah, totally.
That what you might have of what... Of their combined experiences. Yeah,
exactly.
Being presented in a...
Yeah, totally. Yeah. But like, I guess like on that, like one of the songs. So I'm sure, like you said, the entire record is kind of going to be influenced by this fucking horrible experience that the singer had.
Right.
You can't just be like, oh, it's just one song. But specifically, he wrote lyrics about losing his bandmates and his friends. So that was the song the year Summer Ended in June is the song. And I think it's like this story is why people connected so much to this record.
Yeah.
Because like when I listen to it, like I said, it feels very technical. Even the vocals, they seem very controlled and like technically good. Like, oh, I know how to scream properly kind of thing.
Yeah.
But I guess people who know the story connect closer with the real emotion.
Yeah, absolutely.
Of it.
And then you've got the tragedy. Then it's like built on a tragedy.
Yeah.
So it's almost like the perfect...
Yeah.
Art form
that was always like out of reach for me, but like I understand why this is such a beloved album. Because it's like it's just rooted in real fucking human tragedy, and we all know that is commercially viable.
Shockingly, yes.
Yeah, when horrible things happen, you can fucking sell a lot of books.
Absolutely,
you know? You can sell a lot of memoirs.
Tragedy, sells. Oh,
people want to eat it up.
I know.
People want to eat up your tragedy.
Isn't crazy?
Stokes.
Isn't that fucking crazy?
It's insane, man. So I think that's what you know speaks to people about it. And I think honestly, everything else. I'm trying to find anything that I haven't covered here in my notes. I think we've sort of said it all.
I've said a lot.
You've said a lot.
Oh, shit. I apologize. I'm trying to be this fucking literary fucking linguist over
here. This is a good one, actually. I like this one because this is just from some guy who has like a blog on Medium. The guy's name is Elliot Imes. Elliot, if you ever hear this and you're actually a journalist or like a music historian or whatever, I apologize. But but this what he wrote, like I thought was really interesting. It speaks to that you know, just being a suburban kid and then finding extreme music.
Yeah.
Even though you're still just like living with your parents and studying a Bachelor of Arts or whatever you're doing, like normal, quote unquote normal people, like coming across heavy music.
Yep.
And boys being sad as well. So he's like, everyone who liked this record were ready for heavy music that spoke to us as sensitive people. And reassured us that just because we liked this music that screamed at us and made us headbang, we were still in touch with what makes life both special and awful.
That is beautiful.
So basically like, oh yeah, I'm just a pussy who lives in the suburbs, but I can still... That is okay.
Yeah.
You know, like I'm like, allowed that, to be that, a fucking that, wet blanket and still like heavy music, I guess. Yeah. Like, you know.
And that's... It resonates, and that's why it was so such a revered album. Like,
yeah, definitely. Yeah,
because you've got those little pockets of normal kids who feel that way.
Yeah, it was definitely like it's definitely a changing point because like you see photos of them and they look like fucking like IT support. You know, like these guys, they're just like really just plain looking white dudes making this like really remarkable emotional music. So I think you're right. I think that's like. The plainness of them as people is what actually like fueled their appeal.
Yeah, it's inherently relatable.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. So what like do you enjoy it? Do you enjoy this record?
I do. I just love the drama. I love But I have pretty eclectic taste. Like one day like it changes because I'm a fucking lunatic. So like
same. But, don't worry.
Yeah, thank you.
I'm the same. I relate. It's fine. You're not alone.
Oh, fuck. It's like a fucking...
Yeah, no, some I do. Literally, some days I'm listening to Madonna and that's all I want to listen to. And then the next day I'm like on some Norwegian black metal obsession. You know, like absolute schizophrenic music taste.
So I've been listening to a band called Sabaton at the moment.
And I've not heard of them.
They're like a Swedish metal band.
Yeah.
Heavily drum. They only sing about war battles.
Yeah, I love that.
Like history.
Love that shit.
And
so
I've been listening to that.
Like true history battles.
True history.
Dude, I'm listening to Sabaton for the rest of the day. Dude.
Like, they're just goofy singing. Like, that's cool. Wears aviators and he's got. This,
oh
like,
yeah, very
and,
Swedish.
They got like
very
a,
Swedish,
like
yeah.
a tank drum kit, like kind of. It's a lot. That's it's a hilarious. Lot. But it's weird because like I love that shit, but like I can't put it on around people without having to explain it. I'm like, this is about the fucking Passchendaele or the fucking Battle of the Somme, and they're like. This is just too hard.
Y'all heard about the Battle of Hastings.
Well, they got a fucking. They pick every country. Like
that's
a
so cool.
Song about Gallipoli.
I find that so interesting. I want
to. Yeah, listen to them. Yeah. Like, just you know, disclaimer. Like, it's a lot.
It's a lot.
But the drama behind it all.
Yeah, totally.
And they've gotten shitter over time. But
as every band
don't
does.
We all?
Don't we all? Yeah.
This is what we do. We slowly.
That's why people say
fall
I'm,
off.
I'm trying to be better. It's because like you are just like unavoidably become shitter. So it's like you got
to
try and
you
be better.
To try.
Just, yeah. It's not about getting better. It's about slowing down the progression
it's
of
the
shittiness.
Decline, right?
Yeah, yeah. You got to pull the nose up on the plane.
Yeah.
I don't know. I kind of feel the same. Like I said, like that drama. I guess like the real emotion of the guys that was always out of reach to me. But like. I know there's definitely, I'm not going to deny there's not something there. Like there is definitely something to this record. And out of everything they released, I think this is the one that spoke to me the most. Like the second record, Mirrors, that was the one where they collabed with Fall Out Boy on a song and stuff
Fall
like
Out
that.
Boy.
I'm like, that is like a step in,
yeah.
I mean, monetarily, the correct direction, but you know what I mean? Like, Oh, you said, you told me on Messenger, you said, you met Pete Wentz once?
Oh, I did, yeah.
Yeah, sorry, I just reminded myself
of
that.
I'll send that message as a huge clout chase. So tell everyone. But I used to work for a skateboarding company and they did shoes, it was called Supra and they started making like fancy high tops and shit.
Yeah, cool.
I think it was like,
I remember Supra,
I'm trying to think of what year it was, but Pete Wentz was over here for some MTV Music Award thing.
Okay, cool.
And like the guy from the States called me, he's like, can you get some shoes to him?
Sure.
And I was like, absolutely.
I've been in this exact fucking position with Mark Hoppus from Blink-182.
This is amazing. Let's share our shoe stories. But anyway, like they're like, he's a size 7 shoe. And I was like, we don't do kids' shoes.
This is fucking
You know
great.
This.
Right? I love that Pete Wentz is a size 7. What
so, bro, I found these
idiot.
Silver. I found all the size 7s we had, like all 4 of them.
Yeah.
I went to meet him. He's a fucking tiny human. Obviously, he's a size 7.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So
I saw that photo of him next to the I've forgotten the guy's name, Jimmy the basketballer.
Yes.
I saw that photo of them beside each other. I'm like, Jesus Christ, dude. Don't let him take your photo.
I was so underwhelmed when I met him.
Yeah.
Because they were just like fucking in their absolute peak of their fame.
Yeah, totally.
I don't know what I expected. I just thought he'd be fucking like, man.
Yeah.
He was just so quiet. He's reserved. He's like,
give me my shoes.
I put the shoes out. He went, nah. Just dismissed them all. And then I had to drive back to fucking Manly. But tell me your Mark Hoppus shoe story.
Dude,
this is great.
That's
I'm
wild.
Ask the shoe dealers.
So yeah,
a bunch of cobblers.
I wasn't working for a shoe company. I was actually working for Blink-182.
Nice.
On their 2013. So over 10 years ago, man. So long ago. I was a production runner. Well, they were here for Soundwave. And it was kind of funny. It's kind of a story in two parts. So like basically production runner, it's just like if the crew wants anything, if the band wants anything, I go out and get it. I go in the van, grab what they need. So first day, they're doing 2 nights. First day, they're like, oh, we got to get some alcohol for after the show tonight. We're going to have some drinks and stuff. So they give me a big shopping list of alcohol.
Right.
But they're also like, if you can, like go get the alcohol. That's number one priority. But if you can, if you see anywhere, can you please get a couple of padlocks for the trailers.
Yep.
Because this was just after the peak of their popularity where Mark and Tom were not talking to each other.
No way.
They had separate trailers. This is so great. And not only did they have separate trailers, they needed to lock the doors.
What? On their trailers. That's amazing. And you're the fucking gatekeeper.
Yeah, and I'm just like, I grew up listening to you guys. This isn't the Mark, Tom, and Travis show. This is fucking the Jerry Springer show. Right? Like, it's wild.
It's so good.
So I, it's fucking 6 o'clock in Brisbane on the weekend. And I'm like, I look around, like, the hardware's closed. I get all the alcohol. I'm like, oh, they said not to worry about it if it was too hard. So go back, no padlocks, got the alcohol, explained to them I couldn't find anything.
Yeah.
But then the next day, the guy who actually runs the logistic company, who I was actually sort of like working for, I just run into him at the festival and he's like, oh, I heard you couldn't get padlocks for Blink-182. I'm like, what have I done?
Did you ever think like anyone would say that sentence to you? Yeah. What the fuck?
But it's weird that they reported it to the fucking boss.
That's fucking too
And I'm
much.
Like, oh man, I thought it wasn't a big deal. Yeah. So basically, this was the day they were like, oh, Mark needs shoes. And I'm like, Sunday in Brisbane City.
Yeah.
I got to get some Vans old schools, but not just like the black ones, the navy blue Vans old schools.
Their biggest seller.
Biggest seller.
Yeah, in not Brisbane. Only,
size 12. You're talking about biggest seller? Like, the thing that they're just always sold out of in like a real city? Like, yeah, I gotta find that at 6 p.m. on a Sunday in Brisbane.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I can't fuck up again, basically.
Because of the
like,
whole padlock.
Yeah, yeah, dude. I'm like, so in my head. But like, so I'm just like, I didn't even know where to go. I'm just like driving around in circles. And then I just go past Skate Biz.
Yeah.
It's in the CBD.
Yeah.
And there's like, because they're just all skater rats.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't know if it's supposed to be open, but like, there's just a bunch of kids doing ollies out the front of Skate
Biz. Like,
Biz.
That's got to be.
Oh, it's open.
This is the spot.
But then, like, that's only the first hurdle. Like, the second hurdle is this fucking specific, most popular shoe.
In their 12, man. Because, you know, especially small skate shops, like, they're going to get fucking a bunch of 10s, 9s, 11s.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Maybe one 12.
A couple of 12s. And they will sell out immediately.
Absolutely. Yeah,
yeah. So I go in. And it was just like this weird situation because like I'm at a skate shop. Like these kids do not care about Blink-182. They're like, we're talking about Good Riddance. Skaters. They're listening to Good Riddance. Yeah, they're listening to actual propaganda. You know what I'm saying? If I go and I'm like, Mark Hoppus from Blink-182 needs some shoes, they're going to be like,
yeah.
They're going to truck me. You know like what I mean? They're just going to hit me over the head with their fucking skateboard. So I'm just like, I really need this shoe. And he's just like, oh yeah.
Had it.
Yeah, he had it. Like, I'm like, okay, cool. Like, I just built it up in my head.
Finally a win.
I'd built it up in my head so much, and he was just like, why are you so sweaty? You know what I mean? He's like, yeah, take the fucking shoes, dude. So I go back, and then, like, the girl who was, like, the tour manager or whatever, she's like, oh, yeah, come meet Mark. I'm like, this is it. This is my big moment, dude. Because it wasn't just, like, I just had that fuckhead mentality in my head where it's like, oh, I grew up listening to you guys used to be my favorite ever band. But, you know, I was like in my 20s now.
Right.
I don't care about Blink-182 anymore. Right. Like, they've gotten too big. I'm not a fan.
They've gotten too big.
But like worse than that, it's like, no, I'm not a fan. I'm a peer. I'm a colleague. I could be Mark Hoppus's best friend.
You have to have that mentality when you work with these guys. Because you can't be a fan.
Yeah, yeah, otherwise yeah.
That's what they don't want.
Yeah, but I think it's another level when you like need them to know that you're not a fan. like he needs to know that. And I hate his fucking
music.
That
is a very thin line.
Such
to tread.
A thin line to walk. Anyway, so I'm like unavoidably excited to meet him because of this mindset.
Uh-huh.
And she opens the door, he comes out, she's like, oh yeah, this is Ryan, he's a production runner, he got you these shoes. And it's just the exact same thing as Pete Wentz. It's just like, he like ears closed, eyes glazed over, didn't even look at me, didn't hear my name. It's like, thank you for my shoes.
Yeah.
This is what I needed.
Yeah.
I pressed the button on the machine. I got the shoes out. You know, you just close the door, padlock on.
Yeah.
Like someone else got the padlocks. Fuck.
Yeah, because you're like, it's underwhelming, but it's also...
I'm a vending machine for shoes for him. Right. You know?
And padlocks.
Also, I'm pretty sure he owns a shoe company, right? He owns Atticus. Like, why don't you have your own shoes,
Macbeth
brother?
Or something? Yeah. Macbeth. Oh, because they're probably fighting. He's like, I'm not wearing Tom's shoes.
Oh, yeah. Tom had Macbeth. There you go. The feud.
But look at us, mate. Just a couple of fucking big shots, huh?
Yeah, big shots.
Thanks to everyone for listening.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
As we clout chase each other.
Yeah, we're pretty cool. Oh, Pete Wentz.
Look at us. Oh my god!
But yeah, that's it, man. We've done the time, so we can wrap it up if
brother,
you like.
Thank you so much for having me.
No, thank you.
You're the best.
It's Harrowing Films.
Harrowing Films. Haring Films.
Just Instagram? Have you got TikTok and stuff too?
Oh, nah.
Yeah.
I don't have the energy to dance.
No.
Right. Anymore.
I can't get a job in the healthcare industry. No, I can't be a nurse.
I can't be a nurse.
Therefore, I can't be on TikTok.
Well, no fucking like wellness, inspirational. Yeah. Hey, this is the new mindset. Because it would be a lie. I'm a piece of shit. Thank you so much.
So, am I allowed to say I can edit this out if you're not. You're running. You're managing at the Trocadero.
Oh yeah, come Trocadero Room in Enmore. Yeah, that's about it, man.
Trocadero Room in Enmore. There's a comedy show there on Sundays.
Oh yeah, comedy go knock knock every second Sunday.
Every second Sunday.
Yeah, get some fucking heavy hitters.
Yeah, it's
when especially when you come and do a set.
Yeah, I'll tell that Blink-182 story. Everyone will be so impressed.
And I'll jump up and I'll do a fucking Pete Wentz.
We'll do a double act.
Look at us, the cobblers.
Yeah, the cobblers. I love that. That's our fucking hour show, telling these two
underwhelming you wouldn't believe who we know.
Stories. The cobblers, I love it.
You wouldn't believe who we know. So just Haring Films. I've got a bunch of shit coming out soon-ish.
Yeah, nice.
I'm notorious for not putting content out.
The shirts are sick too, the Thriller shirts.
Oh, yeah.
I love that.
Yeah. Brown
is
Cardigan.
Is it Thriller? The brand? Yeah.
Go. Well, actually, it's through Brown Cardigan. So. Yeah.
But I mean, the design is a ripoff of like
the Bones.
Bones. Yeah. Bones. Fuck, why was I thinking Thriller?
It's a Thriller. That's weird. It's thrilling when you buy one.
Yeah.
I think.
So check out that. Buy Stokesy's shirts. I'm on Instagram, ryan.d.sim. I'm promoting my fucking comedy festival shows at the moment, so please follow me. Dead Ramones on Instagram as well. And I run a comedy show called Rat Club. That's at Mosh Pit Bar down the south end of King Street. So if you're in Sydney on a Monday night, come to Rat Club.
Ryan is the best human being.
You talk about being unhinged. Rat Club is fucking, we're going ham.
Can
at this
I live there?
Show. You can come down.
Can I live in the dungeon?
You can be the resident host.
Thank you.
The goblin man who comes out.
Resident fucking drunk guy.
Get your spikes back through your ears.
Get a giant cork plug.
Awesome, man. Thank you so much for doing this.
Absolute
this is really,
pleasure,
really
man.
Fun, man. I really appreciate you reaching out.
Thank
this
you,
is
brother.
Sick.
Thanks for having me, man.
And thanks for listening.